I'm going to be real careful to, as I'm sharing today, because I believe the Lord wants me to just share some things from my heart. I'll just tell you, I had a dream some time ago, and in the dream I was preparing for ministry to speak, and people kept asking me, what are you going to talk about? What are you going to speak on? What are you going to say? And the only, I kept saying, you know, I'm going to tell my story. This was a long, this has been several months ago. Maybe more than that, you know, time goes by, but it's been some time. And I know most of you in here know me, and you know about a little bit about my story, but I feel like there's some things that the Holy Spirit, in particular things the Holy Spirit wanted me to share today that might help you a little bit, and then we'll go and see where he leads us. So before I even get into that, though, I want to mention something. A few weeks back, just before Thanksgiving, I had the service, and there were some prophecies that came forth, and Gary shared one last week, I believe. And as he was sharing it, it was kind of something was stirring inside of me. And it's hard for me to describe exactly what that was. I would say it was ministering to me, which is true, but it was more than that. It was like the Lord was pricking my heart about some of the things that I had said, that or that he had said through me in that prophecy. And so I just want to share a couple of things from that and just tell you what I feel the Lord is saying in it. And this was from November 28th, and I'm only going to share a couple of highlighted things. I'm not going to read the whole prophecy. It's called A Time to Continue and Stay Steadfast. About the sixth paragraph down, it says, and during the days, weeks, and months to come, there will be a deception that seems so pure, seems so right, it seems like it would bring the answer, but it is not of me. And it is going to be very important that you stay steadfast, laser focused on that which I have given you, the instructions that I have brought. So with that, I want to say what I believe was the Lord was conveying there when he said, in the days and weeks and months, meaning right now, in the immediate future and in the near future. And he talks there about a deception. And then a couple paragraphs later, he says, for I speak of a specific attack that's coming against this body and even some specific people within this body, those connected to this message. And you'll know. You'll know. So I believe prophecy has a specific purpose in the New Testament, and it's different from it was in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the only way God spoke to his people was through the prophets, or for the most part, that was the main way that God spoke to his people. In the New Testament, we have a new nature, and we have the Holy Spirit within us, and he speaks to us individually. So under the New Testament, the prophecy should be more of a confirmation, more of a recognition of what God is saying, how he's leading us, the direction that we're going. So in this, I believe in general, the Lord is just telling us to be aware, be on guard, recognize how the enemy is coming against your life, because he's coming in a specific manner. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's one specific thing that the enemy is going to bring, but I believe that it's a specific ploy, tactic that he's bringing against us. And if you read through that prophecy, he also said things like, there's a subtlety to the things that the enemy's bringing now, right? And it's always been there. The Bible tells us that the serpent's the most subtle of all the beasts. So I just want to reiterate that this is something that's going on right now, and that we can expect to see those things. And so it's important for us not to be in fear, not to be really not to be any different than what we've been, as far as long as you've been following the message, as long as you've been doing what the Lord has asked you to do specifically, and also in general concerning the instruction we have from the Lord, then it's our duty to continue and stay steadfast in that. And I believe the reason he points those out is because it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get off track. We're in a holiday season. The last 2 weeks of my life have been pretty busy as well. I've had a lot of different things going on. And it's just important that in the midst of all of it, we stay steadfast so that we're aware and we recognize when the enemy brings an attack, and we're able to stand in the same way that we've been standing, continuing in prayer, continuing in his word, continuing to focus on what he has for us, which is revival. Amen. All right. So I want to tell you a little bit about my story. I first came to the prayer center, I believe it was about 19... It was either 1993 or 1994, the first time that I came to this building. And I didn't come here like many people have the testimony of, you know, how bad they wanted to be here and how much they had loved, you know, what they'd heard from Dave Roberson, and they wanted to be a part of it and all of that. I'm not saying I didn't want that, but that wasn't really how this happened for me. I was going to a good church. I had a good church. I grew up in a Christian home. I knew how to serve God. But Pastor Dave had something that I knew I needed. I had heard one of his tapes. My brother Doug had known of Dave Roberson probably since the 80s or something like that. And he gave me this tape from him, and as I had listened to it over and over again, I believe it was called Finding Your Place in the Body, I'm not sure, but whatever he talked about, I know he talked about speaking in tongues throughout that on that message. And I can still remember, you know, how he would say, how many of you are going to pray more? And I was working at that time, so I was vacuuming floors at a business, and it's after hours, of course, nobody's there, and I'm vacuuming the floors, and he's like, who's going to pray more? I'm like, I am! I mean, you know, there's something about Dave Roberson. He has this anointing that draws a hunger out of me, I believe out of others. When you're listening to it, it's like you can't listen to him one time. Because it's like, wait, I'm still hungry, you know? And you listen to it again, it's like, I'm still hungry. And there was a hunger that stirred in me from that tape, listening to it over and over and over and over. And again, I still can't even tell you all that was, that it was about. Because what caught me more than the message was the ministry at the end of the message. Some of it got on the tape. And I remember listening to this man, and he's saying, you know, I see these things, I hear these things, and I'm like, how is this possible? What is he seeing? What is he hearing? I don't hear anything. You know, and I realize he's really communing with the Holy Ghost. And that was a desire of my heart, to know God. In a way, I was young. I was just out of high school. I had just moved away from my home. I'd lived in New Jersey. I moved across country with my best friend from school to come out here to Tulsa, Oklahoma. My desire, my thought was, I'm going to school at Spartan, and, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do, but something to do with communications, electronics, whatever. And I do some of those things. But when I came out here, I had made a decision in my heart. Because even though I was born again at a young age, my brother got me filled with the Holy Ghost, even though I didn't go to a Holy Ghost-filled church. as about 10 years old, he got me filled with the Holy Ghost. But I was really scared. I was young, and as a little child, I remember being born again. I remember the experience. I remember loving people. I remember all of those things. But then as I got older, adolescence age, teenage years, those types of things, it didn't go away, never went away. But I noticed that people didn't like that. You know, people, other kids didn't really like Christianity per se. And I went through a lot of teasing and bullying, and I was afraid so much. So when I moved to New Jersey as a very young teenager, maybe 12 or 13 years old, I made a conscious decision. It wasn't just something that, you know, you realize later. No, I made that decision. I said in my heart, whatever I have to do to fit in, that's what I'm going to do. And I never left the Lord, really, as far as my belief, but I loved the world more than I loved Him. I loved my friends more than I loved God, because I didn't know what else to do. I felt so alone. I felt like I had to have friends, all those things. And so when I came out here, really before I even came to Tulsa, I made a decision. I told the Lord, I said, and this isn't the best prayer you can pray, but it was where I was at. I said, you know, God, if you can get me away from my friends, I know I can serve you. Now, I realize the best thing is to serve Him wherever you are. But that's where I was in my heart at the time. And it was enough. God accepted it. God had mercy on me. God brought me to a place where I was away from the influences that I had, and I was able to really begin to serve God. And that's when I came here to Oklahoma. And I was going to a good church. I was getting founded in the Word of God. But I had this tape about Dave Roberson. And Doug never told me that Dave was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he was going to school at Rhema at the time, and I was going to school at Spartan. And one time, when I listened to this tape all the way to the end, Derek's voice is on there that has the address for Dave Roberson. And it says Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm like, I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so I asked Doug, and he said, oh, yeah, he's here. They have all-day prayer. And so the first time I came to the prayer center was for all-day prayer. It was in July 1993. And the prayer center really changed my life. I don't want to be dramatic about it. It's just the truth. You know, I came here messed up. I didn't know what was going on because I was a young Christian. Never took the time to really know God. I could tell you, I didn't know it was wrong, but I did know the things I was doing was wrong. I didn't know it was in the Bible because I didn't take the time to find out. I didn't want to know that it was in the Bible. But because of praying in tongues and because of what Pastor Dave taught about that, I began to understand the working of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I began to see that He has a plan and a purpose for me. And right then, something changed inside of me. Just after one day praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm not saying, obviously, you know that one day praying in the Holy Spirit is not enough. It doesn't really change. It doesn't produce the type of change that brings your call and all of those things. But it planted a seed on the inside of me that caused me to hunger after that greater than I had before. And it began with the seed from the message, the tape from Dave Roberson. And it continued on as I began to pray in other tongues here at the prayer center. And once that began, there was something in me that I knew God wanted me to do. And I had a desire, but I couldn't tell you what it was. People would ask me, you know, what do you think God's called you to? I said, I couldn't answer it. There was no answer that I had for that. I just knew there was a drawing in my spirit. And I wouldn't even been able to describe it as that. I just knew that there was something inside of me that was pulling me towards the things of God. But I thank God. I thank God for the message. I thank God for learning to spend time with the Holy Spirit, learning to spend time praying in other tongues, praying out those mysteries, because I didn't have the answer. It was a mystery. It was absolute mystery to me. And but spending that time, I came one day, then I came again on another day, and pretty soon I was hooked. Like, I would come here for prayer, but I had my church that I would go to. And that was fine. And then I would get advice from friends that would say, well, I said, man, I really like it over there. I love the prayer center. And they would say, well, you know, that's the trick. That's how the enemy tricks people sometimes. You know, when you're in a church and you're getting founded and he's trying to pull you away. And honestly, that's true. It's not a bad advice to tell someone to stay where God has put them, especially someone young like me. I didn't know what was going on. But we continued to do that, and then I met Teresa, and we were about to be married, and she came from a totally different background, and church was not a big part of her life growing up, but she had a church that she had attended, and so her and I were attending church together, and that church wasn't quite meshing with her, and we were. It wasn't any kind of bad thing, but I could tell that it just wasn't quite right. So we would come over here on Wednesday nights. And at that time, Pastor Dave was teaching on worship on Wednesday nights. He was really teaching, I think it was petitional prayer, but in that, he would teach us how to worship. And we would spend an hour just worshiping the Lord. He would lead us in it. Just, I love you, Jesus. I worship you. I praise you. And really taught me how to worship God. I never heard anything like that before. I grew up in church, went to Holy Ghost-filled churches, and I never heard anyone teach me how I personally can worship Jesus. They would tell me I could do it. They'd tell me I should do it. But nobody really showed me how. I didn't know this would be like this morning, forgive me. But I realize how much the teaching, not just the teaching, but the example that the prayer center has set for me. I'm number one, of course, it's the Holy Spirit. I'm not raising up any particular man, but I thank God for Dave Roberson and the foundation he laid, because the reason that Alan can teach here, the reason that Gary can teach, the reason that I can stand here is because we have a foundation that we received, first of all, from the Holy Spirit, but through the teachings of Dave Roberson. Because, you know, for me, I'm not saying there's not anyone else, but for me in my life, there had never been a man that talked like this man. There had never been a man that showed the demonstration of the Spirit like this man showed the demonstration of the Spirit. And for me, it meant there was more to what the Word of God has than just reading it, just information, and even more than just than inspiration. And I began to realize that I, Hans Zanstra, can receive a revelation from the Holy Spirit. See, that's what Dave really taught me. I didn't know. I knew that there are people who preach the Word and that I received from them. I knew that the Holy Spirit talked to people, but I never really personalized that for me. And I didn't realize how much I had put God in some other place and was trying to reach Him until I started coming here. And you know, as soon as we got married, we never went back to the other church that we were a part of. I talked to them, I let them know I was leaving, all those things. But we knew that this is where God had called us and this is our home. And so much so that, you know, we had one, Andrew was already born, but when Solomon was born, when Hope was born, even when Jonathan was born, the first place they went was to church. or to some part of the prayer center. But at the time, we were on the outreach team with Barbara, and I'm talking like on the way home from the hospital. We stopped there and visited before we went home, or we'd come here, because one time it was on a Saturday when we were having church. We'd come here and then on our way home. And the baby dedication for Solomon, Pastor Dave. In those days, if you had a baby dedication, you didn't know for sure it was going to happen that day. Because and that's just the way we do church, right? We're not going to put God in a box. We're not, you know. And I remember somebody coming to me and they're like, Hans, this might not happen. And I'm like, that's okay. You know, we're going to follow the Holy Spirit. And of course, it didn't. The next week, we did have it. And Dave prophesied over Solomon. He said, the call is been passed down to this one, and he'll preach with fire. And today Solomon's a Bible school. He's learning to preach with fire. He's learning how to follow the Holy Spirit for himself. So I say those things to say this ministry. And again, I know most of you know this, but it's important to understand that this ministry is a foundational part, not only in my life, certainly not only in my life. And I don't want to speak out of turn, but I believe this is a foundational ministry for the body of Christ. I know when Pastor Dave wrote his book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power, the Lord told him that this is a message that has been brought to maturity. And I don't remember exactly how he said this, but it's going to minister to the body of Christ, right? It's not just for one particular church, but it's for the body. And so as I have received from the Lord, from Dave Roberson, I began to see the ministry gifts manifest in my life. And I think sometimes, see, I'm careful about all the different things I share. I'm trying to make sure I don't share something I'm not supposed to. And here's the reason. Sometimes when we're hearing what someone else has done, we apply the wrong things to our life. Instead of just applying the principle, we try to be like they are. We try to do what they did. And, you know, we hear Pastor Dave's testimony and we're ready to quit our job and go pray. And that's not the part that we're supposed to follow. You know, there's principles there where he learned how to follow the Holy Ghost. He spent that time in prayer. What Dave did on accident, we get to do on purpose. And we can purposely set aside time to enter in and to receive from the Holy Ghost. And Pastor Dave himself would say, you know, that's not the way he would advise someone else to do this. You know, he was desperate, didn't know what else to do. So he was all in. But you can be all in and still work a job, you know. And that's what I think is important when we listen to the testimonies and the things that the ways in which people have developed here at the prayer center. We have great examples through Pastor Allen and through Gary, through Tim, through each one of us has a story and we have a great example. But I think what's awesome, what God has done is like each one of us has a different way of getting to where we are. And that's important to understand that each one of us are individuals and we have a different way of following God so that we get to the destination. The principles are all the same. The message is the same. The way that we get there is the same, but there's an individual leadership that we all have to develop in our life. There's an individual relationship with the Holy Spirit that each one of us has to develop, and we have to grab a hold of and allow him to lead us individually into the place that he has for us. Because each one of us has a place in this body. God has fitly joined you to this place. And it's important that you find that place, that portion of the body that you are, and you function properly in it, not trying to be anyone else. When it comes to ministry, you know, we know what the fivefold ministry gifts are, but you know, that's a very small portion of the church. Most people aren't called to apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. Because if that was the case, then why, who would we evangelize? Who would we pastor? Who would we preach to? You know, we all have a place in the body. And even if that's a place that you're called to, that's simply like a job description that you're going to do. It's not necessarily who you are. You're still a part of the body. You still have responsibilities to other people. You still have a submission to one another. There's not a, we're not to be holding ourselves above someone else. So as we learn where we are, who we are, and what our purpose is in the body, the Holy Spirit is leading us individually and strengthening us together so that we can stand and we can be who He's called us to be. There's been a few prophecies about the Lord wanting us to come together. And of course, the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of the brethren. I don't think that's only talking about a church service, but it sure can include a church service. We come together, we assemble, we come, and we bring our portion so that God is able to do what He wants to do through the body. We often want to blame the preacher when things don't go well for the service. And although it could be, there could be fault there, each one of us has something to bring when we come together. Doesn't mean that you're going to get to speak. Doesn't mean that you're going to get to sing. It doesn't mean you're going to get to do something publicly. But you have an anointing that you carry within you. And you have a responsibility to steward that anointing. And when we come together, it shouldn't just be to listen to the minister and see how we can receive something from the Lord. But it ought to be our attitude is, God, what do you want to do today? And what's my part in it? How can I be a blessing today, Lord? How can I minister today in taking away the public pulpit ministry and just saying, Lord, have your way. Holy Spirit, show me today the things that you have for me and how you want to move in my life. And I believe that when we come with that attitude, number one, God is going to honor that and He'll use you, yes, but also it puts you in a position to receive. It puts you in a position to have that demonstration of the Holy Spirit working in your life where you can recognize it and you can know what the Holy Spirit's doing. And when you, as you do that, it ministers to you. In other words, there's things the Holy Ghost does in a service. And there's times when that anointing might shift, it might change. And if you're listening and you're prepared, you can catch those moments. And you recognize when God is doing something different. And He's not only ministering to you, but when you catch that, you're a part of that movement of the Spirit. You're a part of that anointing that's ministering to other people. There's been times when Pastor Dave would be preaching and I'd notice, I'm like, He's going to give a word of prophecy. And sometimes I would almost know what He's going to say because I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to understand what He's doing in a service. Part of that is the Holy Spirit training me, but part of that is also just being open and being yielded and being ready for what God is doing. Because we're getting ready to step into something that we've never seen before. And this is a time when God's grace is upon us to be trained and to be prepared for revival. We've been told many times, it's not going to come through one person. It's not going to be just the pulpit ministry that's doing it. But there's been instruction that there'll be people in other parts of the building that are ministering in different ways. And, you know, Pastor Dave, many years ago, he talked about how people would go out and minister. And so it's important that we realize that ministry is much more than the pulpit ministry. It's much more than the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. Each one of us has a part to play. And this is a time where we get to experience that in a safe way when we come together for church and just be yielded and be prepared for the Holy Spirit to use you. Be prepared to recognize what the Holy Spirit is doing in a service. I'll say it that way. Be prepared to recognize how the Holy Spirit is moving and how He's doing things. Because whether it's through you or through someone else, when you recognize it, it helps us understand how the Holy Spirit can move through us also. And the way that in which He speaks and the way in which He moves. Because for me, it's often the same gifting, but there's a different, I'm going to say it this way, there's a different unction of the Holy Ghost. There's times when I realize he's about to say something, or He's about to do something, but I may not know exactly what it is. But if I'll recognize that and wait on Him and turn towards that, just as Moses saw the burning bush, you know that burning bush was very common to see in the wilderness? I mean, it's hot, it's dry, it's often that a bush could ignite. But yet, Moses turned, and he turned to that bush. His attention was caught. Something caught his attention. And that's what I'm saying, when we come together, we need to have our spirit open so that as the Holy Ghost is ministering, we catch what He's doing. Because it's not only up to the minister, but every person here has a anointing in your life. Each one of you has a need in your life. And when you come and you're open and you're ready to receive, it allows the Holy Ghost to move in a particular direction. And sometimes He can minister to you individually because you have come prepared to receive all that He has for you. Because you have come ready. Now, there are times when He'll leave the 99 and go after the one. Ready or not, here I come. He's going to come. He's going to minister to that one person. But that's not every time. That's generally a gift of the Holy Spirit. But we can, on purpose, prepare ourselves to receive, prepare ourselves to be fed by the Holy Ghost. Last night I woke up. 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Some people do. I don't. I'm not that type of a morning person. But I woke up, I think it was actually before 3 o'clock. And the Holy Spirit, I'll say it this way. I heard a phrase in my spirit. And I'm going to roll over and go back to sleep. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to write this down. I didn't want to. I thought, I can remember it. I'll be all right. And I was just about back asleep, and I thought, I better get up and write this down. I knew that I'd heard Him, and I know that if you want to hear Him again, you need to be faithful to what He's saying. I just really believe that. I'm not saying He's full of grace and mercy and all those things, but we have a responsibility, and if we're going to mature in the things of God, we've got to be obedient when we hear Him, and especially in a simple task like that. So I got up and I wrote it down. I'm pausing because I really don't even know what it means, what I wrote down. So I'm asking Him if He wants me to even say it. But this is what I wrote. This is what I heard. Was there a path in the wilderness? So I wrote that down. So was there a path in the wilderness? I thought about it a little bit. And I know y'all may not believe this, but the Lord said, now go back to bed. Of course, that's what I wanted to do. So I had to be sure that I was really hearing the Lord and I'm not just doing this because I'm pushing it off. But no, He said, no, I want you to go back to bed. And He didn't say anything else about it. So today I come here and I had that thought in my mind. I thought, was there a path in the wilderness? And see, the scripture came to me, Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So the only path in the wilderness. Some of us go through wilderness seasons, times when things, it seems there's no answers, it seems there's no way out, it seems like we're stuck and maybe even lost at times. But there is a path. There's a path in the wilderness. Romans Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together." Now I believe this is our path in the wilderness. Understanding that you are led, you have a spirit that is from God within you. And then His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that we're joint heirs. So in the midst of our wilderness season, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our temptations, in the midst of everything, the Holy Spirit is our path out. He's our path in the midst of the wilderness to bring us to where He wants us to go. I don't want to say we're in a wilderness because I don't believe that's where we are. But we are contending and looking for something different than what we see every time we come here. We're looking for a revival that we have never seen before. We're looking for manifestations of the power of God that the earth has not yet seen. And in the midst of that, there is a path that's being set out by the Holy Ghost. And if we'll open our ears to hear, if we'll be yielded to the Holy Ghost, each one of us individually, yes, we have the prophecies. We have what the Holy Spirit has spoken to us as a body. But the primary way that God speaks to you today is He speaks to you through the Spirit that is in you, and you have the ability to hear Him for yourself. And there's a path being laid out individually that comes together to one wide path that leads to revival. When I say a wide path, I know that it's narrow compared to the things of the world, but I mean more than just an individual. We're coming as a corporate body into revival. But to get there, there's a path being laid out individually that we'll walk on, that just like this carpet is laid with a path on it. I see individual paths that are narrow, that are small, that lead to one particular person. And then as we follow that, we come together to a place where we walk in corporately to this revival. But there's a path being laid out in the wilderness. There's a path being laid out in your life right now, today. The Holy Ghost has the ability to shine a light on things in your life that need to be changed. And if you'll listen to Him, He will empower you to change those things. I guess that's what a path in the wilderness is. I guess there is a path in the wilderness. Amen. Hallelujah. So as I yes, sir. Like I said, most of you here know me. But as I began to, as I continued to seek the Lord and continue to find this path myself of developing in the things of God, so I tried to learn how to have this relationship with the Holy Spirit that I so longed to have. Things began to develop in my life. And the Holy Spirit started teaching me how He leads and how He guides and how He directs. And after a few years of being here, the first thing I did when I came to the prayer center, when we really said this is going to be our home, and this is just, again, this is me personally, this doesn't mean that you need to do these things. Immediately, my heart was, I need to get involved. I need to be a part of what's going on. What can I do? And at the time, we had an outreach team. And so the first time that they met, I showed up. And I said, whatever needs to be done, I'm going to do that. We'd go, we'd make sandwiches. We'd bring sandwiches down there. Then we started having a service here on Saturdays for them, and what needs to be done? Well, tables need to be set up, chairs need to be set up, tables need to be broken down, put away. They need a bus driver, I'll go get my CDL, and I'll be a bus driver. And so I drove the bus for a while. Did whatever I could do. And again, that isn't what I'm, that was just the hunger that was in me, and what I knew I could do, I was going to do. And so I've just begun to get involved in those ways. And after some time, you know, Pastor Dave would be prophesying to individuals. And we don't seek out prophecy, nor do we seek out a prophet. But when God is speaking, it's encouraging to hear what he has to say. It's always good. And like I said earlier, I don't believe, under the New Testament, I believe there's a different role of prophecy than under the Old Testament. And for the most part, it's for edification, exhortation, comfort. Should bear witness with what the Holy Spirit's already speaking in your heart. He doesn't typically lead through another person, because you know God yourself. And Pastor Dave, he gave me many prophetic words for a while. And I think sometimes people get the wrong idea. They might think, you can go either direction with this. There's some people that all they want is another word from God. And so they try to find that all the time. And then there's people that go the other way, that they think, you know, they're embarrassed or they're too mature. They shouldn't need a word anymore. And it's not that you need it, but if God's offering it and it's help, it's a good thing. That's where I was at. I was receiving many prophetic words from Pastor Dave, and I didn't understand why exactly, because I thought, well, I came here to learn how to hear God for myself. But I did get kind of, let me tell you, this is the kind of shepherd that Dave Roberson is. Many times he'd have a line. Sometimes he'd call it a no reason line. If you had a reason, you couldn't get in the line. And often he'd get there and he would begin prophesying over people, because he'd just step into that gifting. And it wouldn't matter who's in front of him. He's going to tell you what the Lord's saying. Well, one night he had a line, and it wasn't a no reason line. It was for a specific thing. And maybe five or six people got up there, but he started prophesying over each one of them. So what happens? The line starts growing. And I watched him. I got up in the line. I was standing over here. And he got to about right here. And I promise you, this was the last person that got up when he called the line. He got to the next person and he said, "The rest of you can sit down." I've only seen him do this one time. He said, "Now if God's speaking, of course you want to hear it." But he said, "I can't turn it on and off. I can't just prophesy over you or pray over you, because it's what you want." I'm paraphrasing what he said. But it impacted me enough that I remember it today. I only remember that happening one time. It may have happened some other time, but I remember that. And at the end of the service, he said, "You know, if you were in that line, you can come back up and I'll pray. And if the Lord says anything, I'll tell you what he said." He came over to me and he said, "Hans," and he hardly ever knew my name, especially when he's ministering. But he said, "Hans, the Lord's allowed me to watch you, because you're doing good." And that's all he said. Like I said, he'd given me many prophetic words. He'd given me many things that the Holy Spirit had said. But somehow that meant more to me than all of those other words, because I realized that I was coming to the place where I'm hearing from the Lord myself. And as I continued here at the prayer center, there came a day that the Lord spoke to me, and it was kind of hard for me, because he said, "Because I want to teach you things that man can't teach you. I want to teach you things that Dave can't teach you. And I didn't feel worthy, nor did I feel like I was of the right caliber to be taught from someone other than, you know, a man of God who's got more maturity than me. So I share that story with you to say, each one of you, the Holy Spirit wants to teach you something that man can't teach you. He wants to teach you something that I can't teach you, that Gary can't teach you, that Alan can't teach you. He wants to teach you about his relationship with you and how much he loves you individually. And so what I appreciate so much about Dave Roberson is that his whole purpose, to me at least, was to deliver me to the Holy Ghost so that he could teach me what Dave can't teach me. And what I'm amazed at is here we are 25 plus years later, and I'm beginning to understand some of the things that Dave taught 20 years ago, you know. Alan's up here teaching transformation, and he's teaching some spirit, soul, body things that some of it reminds me of some of the things that Pastor Dave taught, and I was like, oh, that's what it means. That's what he meant by that, you know. And I'm thinking, wow, this is really amazing. And the only reason that we can come to those revelations is if we've taken the message. I'm going to close with this. If we've taken the message that Pastor Dave taught, we've applied that and continued in our walk with the Holy Spirit, and I think some of the strongholds, some of the struggles that I've had is I've looked at Dave Roberson instead of the message in certain things of my life and compared myself to Dave Roberson and be like, well, Pastor Dave prayed for 3 months and miracles broke out and had an international ministry. I mean, you know, that's the cliff notes. When you look at it, you're like, wow, this is amazing. What's wrong with me? You know, I prayed for 20 years and I'm still the same. But see, you're not the same. And that was one of the things that Pastor Dave said to me one time too, is he said, you know, he said, it's like building a skyscraper. It's like when you're there every day, you don't see anything different. But somebody that's been gone for a month, they come back and they're like, wow, look at all the progress that's been made. And see, in our life, that's what's happening. Maybe you've been here, it doesn't matter if you've been here 10 minutes or 10 years. If you've begun this walk and you begin listening to this message, you've begun to make progress in your walk with God and in your relationship with Him, and understand that this message of praying in other tongues, private worship, fasting, and meditating the Word of God, that message is going to deliver you to the Holy Spirit, where He has tools to develop and produce that which He's put in you and bring you your calling and your anointing forth in your life, so that you can walk down the path that God has set before you, and so that we can walk through this path in the wilderness, so to speak, so that we can know individually and corporately what the Holy Spirit has for us, and we're not continually hoping and looking for I want to say this the right way because yes, hallelujah, we're growing. And we want to be in that place where we're expecting And I'm having difficulty understanding this part. Hang on just a second. Maybe I just need to prophesy it. Yay. Yes, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So I believe he's wanting to bring us into a season where instead of constantly desiring and wanting another word from the Lord, so to speak, through another person, that we develop and grow and walk in the fullness of what God is putting in our spirit, so that when he brings the word, it bears witness with what he's doing in you, and encourages and strengthens and causes you to walk even stronger than you'd walk before, because you develop in you that place of the Spirit where you receive his guidance and his direction. And then when we come together corporately and he brings a word to this body, it joins with that which is already in you, that which the Holy Spirit's already saying to you, and it brings strength, and it brings you to a place where we're able to walk together in the fullness and in the power of what the Holy Ghost is doing in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Father, we just thank you for this service today. We thank you, Lord, we thank you that you are making a path in the wilderness of our lives. You're making a path in every season. Lord, I thank you that this path is leading us together into revival. So, Lord, we're trusting you. We're asking you, Holy Spirit, have your way individually in our lives and corporately as a body. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed. I'll be back here at 10 o'clock.